Good day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now, here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, the program dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templar, the secret societies, and the ancient Holy Grail mysteries. The Guardians of the Holy Grail show was created by me to assist in clearing up many of the popular misconceptions that have been perpetrated in the mainstream media regarding the secret societies and the Holy Grail mysteries and the bloodline from Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Through this show, I hope to set the record straight with hard facts from authors and researchers, as well as with testimonials from current and past members of the Initiatic Societies. I myself am a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, which was founded to revive the mystical rites and wisdom of the original Knights Templar that over the centuries have either been lost or ignored. You can learn about my Gnostic Templar organization, and you can sign our mailing list by visiting www.gnostictemplars.org. While you're there, you can sign up for our 18-lesson Gnostic Templar e-course, and you can become an associate member. If you're interested in becoming a full initiated member, you can even do that. You can download an application and fill it out and send it in. And we're going to have our next accolade ceremony, our next initiation ceremony here in Sedona. It'll be the last weekend of April. And so if you are interested in being part of that, there's still time to submit your application. Now, during today's show, if you have any question for myself or our guest, feel free to call our toll-free line, which is 866-472-5795. Now, before we get started, I'd like to mention a couple tours that I'll be leading. I like to refer to them as sacred journeys rather than tours, because there's a lot of deep mystical experience that I try to bring along with these journeys. As an example, my May journey is in Sedona, where I live. I'll be taking a group around to the four main vortexes here and trying to give them the experience that Sedona is famous for, these mystical interdimensional experiences. And this this journey, this experience, will happen May 11th to the 15th. And you can learn more about it and register for it by going to sacredsitesjourneys.com. And we're only going to have, I believe, six people. So you might want to register soon if you are interested. And I can tell you this much, that if you haven't been to Sedona, it's one of the most absolutely amazing places on Earth, not only for beauty, but for energy. I regularly lead tours here, or journey, shall I say, to the different vortexes, and people regularly have very amazing experiences when I take them to these places. The energy seems to be building here. Perhaps it's preparing for 2012. But this is the land of initiation. This is the land of the serpent. This is the land of transformation. If you are on a serious spiritual quest, this is your place. This is your land. This is your home. So once again, that'll be May 11th to 15th. In August 8th to the 18th, I'll be taking a group down to Peru. And my journey there is called Mystical Journey to Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca. I've been leading journeys down there for years, since 94. I think I've been down there something like 17 times. I know the area quite well. I've actually studied with many of the shamans, and I've learned most of the sacred mysteries down there. The temples in Peru are unique in that you don't see that kind of construction really any place else in the world. I mean, you see similar construction, but not exactly the same. It's just phenomenal. They use 100-ton blocks, and they fit them together so perfectly that you cannot put a credit card between them. You literally cannot. When the Spanish arrived in the 1500s, the natives of Peru said, we didn't build these temples. They were here when we arrived. It was the Viracochas, it was the gods that built these. And according to the shamans today, the builders of these temples were spiritual masters that came from the great spiritual continent of Mu or Lemuria, as well as Atlantis. And they say that some of the construction you can tell is Lemurian or construction from people from Mu, Lemuria, and other construction is definitely from people from Atlantis, and they can point out which is which, actually. And there's all kinds of legends about the masters from Lemuria coming, and it's just a phenomenal place. If you feel a connection to Lemuria, and if you feel a connection to the goddess, see, the Lemuria was the primeval goddess civilization, and the goddess's teachings came from Lemuria to Peru. And one of the places that they went to was in the area of Lake Titicaca, which the Andean people call the womb of the Andes, because it is the energy of the goddess herself. Many say it's the third eye, or the Ajna chakra of the planet. It's the most psychic vortex on the whole planet. So that's another place that we're going, is Lake Titicaca. It's just an amazing place. There's so many mysteries in that area. One of which is that there was a great solar disk that was brought from Lemuria, and for a while it was in a monastery in the Andes near Lake Titicaca, and then it was brought to Titicaca. Now it's at the bottom of the lake, but recently in 1992 it was reactivated. They say, according to the Peruvian shamans, that's when the New Age happened for them, 1992, because that was the activation of this great solar disk, and you can actually feel that energy. And there's a lot of mysteries around that solar disk, where that came from, too. I mean, some say that it even came from another planet. It came from Venus. So there's so many incredible mysteries down there. And more are being revealed almost daily. So it's an amazing time to go down there. And the thing of it is, if we are going to collectively move into the new age, we've got to revive the goddess energies within us. And that is one of the principal places to do it, because the goddess energy is probably stronger there than just about any place else on the planet. And when you revive those goddess energies within you, you stimulate intuition, you awaken intuition, you start feeling the truth, you open your heart, you start feeling more, connected to yourself, to everybody, to the world. And intuitive revelations start to arise within you. And this is what we all need to do right now. We have developed the male part of ourselves for centuries, for millennia, and now it's time to develop the female side so that we have a we move into a state of balance. And this is what the new era is all about, is coming into a place of perfect balance within ourselves and within our world. So again, that that journey is August 8th to the 18th. It's a great time to be down there. And if you are interested, go to sacredsciencejourneys.com and you can register for it there. Now, today, my special guest is a lady named Isis Aquarian, who was a member of the Source Brotherhood. Some of you may be familiar with that. It was a spiritual commune of the 1970s. And Isis was one of the 14 wives of the leader of this brotherhood, who was named Jim Baker, who during his time as leader of this brotherhood took the name of Father Yod. Father Yod. Anyway, Isis met Jim Baker when he was the owner of the Source Restaurant. It was a natural foods restaurant in Los Angeles that served many of the best-known celebrities and movie stars of the time, and including John Lennon and Julie Christie and even Frank Zappa. When at one point Jim Baker identified himself as Father Yod, and Isis and then the other members of the community then came together with him to form the Source Brotherhood. It was first in L.A., and then it was in Hawaii, this commune that they created. And it became one of the most innovative spiritual communes of the time. The members were continually striving to evolve spiritually and expand their consciousness in every way possible. Isis was known as the Dragon Lady. And she was personally appointed by Father Yod to be the Source family's archivist, the historian, and the keeper of the temple. So she was the priestess of the Source Brotherhood. Besides being one of the leaders of the family and a very active member of the 13-woman council, Isis was also very active as a photographer of Father Yod, And she filmed, recorded, made audio tapes, and created scrapbooks in order to completely document the family history. Jim Baker died after a hang gliding incident in 1975, but Isis has remained true to the Source Brotherhood and to him, remaining his wife. She then became an Aquarian nun, and now she's an Aquarian crone. Isis recently set up a website about the Source family that you can visit and learn much more about them, and the address of that is www.yahowah.org, and that's spelled YAHOWHA.org. So, greetings, Isis. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail.
Aloha, Mark.
Aloha. And you're coming from Oahu, right?
I'm coming from Oahu.
And
another beautiful day.
It's always a beautiful day there, isn't it?
Not always, but our beautiful, our days that aren't beautiful would be a joke to anybody else. They would be wonderful.
Are you still living on the property that that was owned by the Source family?
No, I'm not. I'm living in the proximity of where we did live, and
nice.
Had our meetings and our group families, and where Father actually left the body. So. It's to us. It's a grid. It's a PowerPoint.
I see. So is that why it was originally chosen by your family? Is because it had this dynamic energy. It was a vortex area.
Yes, we actually looked for a home when we wanted to get out of LA, we had a very famous restaurant on Sunset Strip called The Source. And it got to a point where we were living in mansions and we were very wealthy. And we were running The Source, but we were a closed mystery school. And it got to a point where we wanted to get out of the city. And Hawaii was calling to us as a very, very sacred spot. But Father had led travels all over the world trying to find a place for us to live, you know, from Costa Rica to South America and India and different places, and they weren't the right place. And Hawaii ended up being that magical place with volcanoes going off and food that you could live on the land with. But it was also lined, it makes a pyramid with Egypt and Bethlehem and Hawaii form a pyramid grid. So there was a lot of interesting things along the way that led us here. We were actually very happy here for a while. And this is pretty well where it all ended. And it just, you know, basically ended for Father Yod, and our journey is still continuing on. You know, we're still here, so we're still evolving in our own grade levels for our own evolution.
Well, he died in 75. How much longer after that did the Source family continue?
We stayed together about 2 years, and we, you know, with our head gone, he was the glue. We just, you know, we realized that nobody was going to be able to take his place. That it was time for all of us to use that as a foundation and to go out and create our own families, our own energy, continue our journey with what we were given. And some of us, you know, did that. Some of us have had a hard time doing that. Some went to other groups, other spiritual groups, and found other pearls of wisdom to just keep putting on their belt from our foundation. It's been a hard struggle I would say all of us, to have left a situation like that where we never thought we were going to. That was, you know, that was our life. We had committed to it. And
so it was complete. It was a complete shock to all of you. You couldn't have foreseen this at all. He didn't, for example, predict.
No, we didn't. We didn't really pay attention to it or foresee it, even though he told us that he was not going to be with us that much longer. He told us that he was going to leave, that he'd given us everything that he had, and he really saw no reason for himself to be here anymore. And that he told us exactly where he was going. He said, "I'm going to Sirius to prepare your next home." He always told us we were star beings, and, you know, it was time to go to another planet. It was time to go back home.
And so, were you all had that connection from another star existence? You knew each other. You had karmic connections from, you know, another star, another dimension.
We felt that in the '70s were a very special time frame. It was a dispensation where man's mind and heart cosmically were opened. And many people, you know, people were just walking out of their homes. They were leaving everything. They were seeking a frequency that suited them, and everybody was out looking for, you know, there was masters, there was gurus, there was ashrams. People were searching for something that was no longer working for them. And this is how the flower children and the hippies started. And they hit places like L.A., San Francisco. But we have found that communes, there was tens of thousands of people doing this all over the country. People just didn't know about them. They just knew about the more famous ones or the famous hot spots.
Mm-hmm.
And people were searching for that next evolution, that next thing, and that understanding of who they were, where they were from, what were they supposed to do, and what was happening. So that's what the 70s brought. They brought the crossover. They allowed people to start their journey of knowledge, because without knowledge, you can't have anything. And everybody vibrated to a different, you know, knowledge. We're not all on the same path or the same school or the same grade level. So everybody needed something different. And that's how we found Father. He put out a frequency and he recalled us. You know, he recalled his tribe back together again. And we all found him. And we all have a story that's, like, amazing, you know. How we were led to him, just drove into the source and found him. And everybody knew we were home. That was our home.
Okay, so he drew together the tribe that you were together before. Are you saying that you were back on Sirius? He was a leader, a prophet, and he was the leader of your tribe on another star system?
I would say it went back. You know, we definitely touched on Mu, Atlantis, Lemuria, and incarnations, reincarnations. There were definite affinities, and we very quickly would go through those in a very fun way. I mean, one day we would be Egyptians, and we would all be wearing Egyptian clothes. You know, 2 weeks later, we'd be American Indians. He would pull us through all incarnations in a very cohesive way where we actually lived it, understood it, reconnected with it, and then moved on from it.
So maybe by going back to Hawaii in some way, you may have been reliving a Lemurian incarnation that you had together. Is that possible?
We felt like this was definitely our homeland, our motherland. This was where it was sacred to us, and this is where he made the decision to leave the body. Was here, and we left and have spent the last 40 years trying to figure out our journey and our life. And for me, my agreements with him. Even before we incarnated, we knew what our agreements were. As soon as we saw each other, he told me. He said, "You've been with me many times doing this work." And I had, I knew it. And I was just to keep the legacy alive. I would say up until about 10 years ago, we were pretty well flatline. We weren't the Source Brotherhood, and everything that we had was turning into myth. Like myths do on legends and truth, they get lost in time. And I would say that we were pretty well flatlined. We didn't even have a heartbeat. And our family wasn't even gathering or using the knowledge that we had. People were very confused 30 years later. Some of them hadn't even shared their adventures with their partners or their children. You know, Father's photo was kept in a closet somewhere. We were basically in the Source closet. We hadn't come out. But as things started evolving spiritually and with the Internet and YouTube and people out there saying the same thing, you know, a few of us decided it was time to come out of that closet, that spiritual closet, and it was safe. And we presented what we had. We did a book. And we had our family music was always an underground cult happening. You know, the next generation embraced it, the Yehoah 13 music. And, we're back. We've got a heartbeat. And the legacy is pretty well secured. Father Yoda's become a cult hero. They're making T-shirts on him. They're making comic books out of him. They're doing documentaries. The band is playing again. Our music's being remastered. And so that's kind of where we're at.
Do you still experience your Father Yod from whatever dimension he's in right now?
Yes. No, he's never. I've never felt that he's left. We've been doing the work all of these years, and that's why I call myself the Aquarian nun. Nuns and monks have existed for eons. There's nothing new about that concept. I never intended to become a celibate or a nun, but it just happened. It was right. I didn't, it wasn't something I did. It happened to me in a very cosmic way. And he was always with me, so I never felt like he was gone. So I basically just continued on remaining one of his wives. I became the Aquarian nun. And now in my elder years, I'm into being 69, I became the crone and have pretty well taken up the teaching that you have, Mark, of the goddess trinity, of the matriarchal effects all the way back to Avalon and the maidens. And also bringing a balance to that of the God Trinity. You don't hear anybody talk about the God Trinity. It's mostly the Goddess Trinity. So I'm taking the God and the Goddess Trinity and formulating them together as a balance, if that makes sense.
Yes, of course.
And the crone is just the elder. Each gender is just the last stage of their life. So
the other wives of Father Yod, did they become nuns, or did they go on and become remarried, or
everybody went on with their lives and remarried or had children or went in and out of situations or. Some went to the Rantha group, some went to other groups. Some are still on their learning path. I would say what we had with Father Yod and the Source family was a hard act to follow for any of us.
And well, Father Yod, he had quite an amazing background. From what I've read, he was a monk, a Vedantic monk. He was heavily involved with Kundalini Yoga, with Yogi Bhajan. So, what path did he teach you all, or was it kind of a synthesis of many paths?
Well, he'd come out of being Yogi Bhajan's main disciple, and the yogi wanted to have him open up his ashram, and Jim was seeing that the East needed to meet with the West. He was seeing onto himself that there was even a higher way to go than the way the yogi had kept their teachings for thousands of years. Yeah, Jim Baker, early father, was jumping into this whole new age of Aquarius energy, that there was a new energy upon us, new planets. He told us there was going to be 13 planets. He told us about these new planets and comets and things that we are experiencing now and what would be happening. And he said, we have to up our game, basically, to meet with that. We can't be bringing in the old dogma that's been around for thousands of years. We bring it in as our support system and our foundation, but we have to up our game from anything that's been happening to meet this new energy. He said this is a new age, the last golden age of Lemuria and Atlantis, and that we had to do it right this time.
So according to him, the Aquarian Age is starting now, or starting very soon from now, or
there's always that ushering in before anything happens, and we felt it. We were living it back in the 70s. That's the way we were living, but officially, he told us in the 70s as a family he wanted us together, 2001, September 17th, at 8 p.m. as a family to usher in the energy and to make a toast. Well, in the 70s, if somebody said to you 2001, you would go, right. It was like a space odyssey.
But, yeah, right.
But we always listened to what he said, and of course I wrote everything down. And the family had long been dispersed, and that time frame was coming, and I went, oh my gosh, we were asked directly by him, you know, 30-some years ago to meet on this day, so I called forth a gathering. And we hadn't had many gatherings, and the family was quite dispersed, and we had a lot of personality issues that we were still working out. But we thought, well, you know, this mandate came from Father, so we're going to do it. So we gathered here in Hawaii, and it was like for 3 days, it was just like we were back together in the family, and a lot was understood, and a lot started being resolved. And we had a spaceship out over two islands called the Makaluas here in Lanikai, where we were all staying on a big beach house. And it followed us for 3 days. And when those 3 days were up and we were over with our gathering, it left. So like a lot of substantiation came to us on a lot of levels that he was still here. And we were to continue our journey. When he left, he was on the front page of the Honolulu Advertiser as an adept, you know, leaving. They called him an adept. But in a box right next to it, they also announced the discovery of a new star, a new nova that had passed over Hawaii at the exact same thing, not even meaning to relate it. It's just the way it came out. So it was he had fun like that. It was just a little bit of fun and substantiation on his part that it was, you know, all happening. It was all true.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people wonder, as I do, why he would have jumped off a cliff with the hang glider when he'd never even actually had any training in it at all. It seems quite dangerous.
that was just the surface visual way of seeing something that he told us that he was ready to leave. He was ready to leave for that last month of his life. He said, I don't know what to do because I have given you everything. He told us that we needed to go out on our own and nobody would leave. We were never going to leave him. And he saw that. And he was ready to go. He was ready to finish out his journey and go. And we wouldn't let him, is basically what it was. And he being the type of person he was, as Jim Baker, you would have understood it. You know, he was a war hero. He was a judo expert. He was used to doing things like that. That was like nothing for him to think of doing something like that. So he said, in Lemuria, men had wings, and they used to fly off the cliffs. And he said, I remember that, where men had wings, and that's what they did. And he said, I want to experience that again. So he went up in a kite to experience that. And he also figured, if it's not his time, it's not his time. But if it is, he'd be totally willing to go. He wanted an out. He wanted an out because he was done. He wanted to move on for his own evolution. And he wanted us to be able to do what we were supposed to do, which we would have never have done if we were sitting here hanging on to him for 40 years. And I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it does to us.
Oh, totally, totally. Well, I'm curious as to, of course, how you got the name Dragon Lady.
Well, in the family, I became basically his right-hand administrator. So I had several names, like Bulldog. You know, every family seemed to have had one of those that were given the responsibility and there was nothing you could do. They were always, like, right because they had the backing of the leader. You know, he would say, "She's right. She's doing this for me, so just do what she says. If you have a problem, come to me." And so I was the administrator, and I was the administrator of the household. And I came in with you know, administrative abilities. A lot of the people coming in were younger. Some were older. But he right away said that this is the way we were working. You know, we were temple keepers. So he made me the temple keeper. He made me the historian and the archive keeper. I taped morning classes. I, you know, made records. Because he knew I was the one eventually that was going to save the legacy. And the children actually gave me the name Dragon Lady. We had a group of children that were just pure consciousness. And they would, you know, run and play together, and that was their nickname for me, Dragon Lady. And I loved it. I always loved that name. I resonated to it. And it wasn't until years after the family when I got a hold of a book called The Dragon Legacy by Nicholas Devere that started my whole other journey, spiritual journey, in figuring out the whole other part of my life and what everything was about when I was in the family. And it all had to do with the dragon. So Dragon Lady was very appropriate for me, and it was very endearing, contrary to what other people thought it meant.
And, yeah, okay, so, yeah, I was wondering, you know, what it was that did attract you to the Imperial and Royal Dragon Court. So you've decided that you definitely have some connection to the dragon mythos, to the dragon lineages, to the dragon blood. You feel that there's some connection you have to all this.
I do. What it did to me was I had a brother, Robert, who called me one day and he said, "I've got a hold of this book called The Dragon Legacy." He says, "You have got to read it. It's right up your alley and you're ready for it." And he sent it to me, and this book got so marked up and underlined and highlighted that I couldn't even, it was shredded. I couldn't even read it anymore. I had to get another copy because it was just like lights went out off in my head everywhere. And it explained so much. What Nicholas Devere did was he stepped out basically as a lone person and gathered the information that was also kind of flatline and dead and wasn't going anywhere, and he resurrected his clan, his genealogy, his legends, and saved them. And he brought back with respect and honesty who they were. And it gave me the opportunity, because that's what I was doing with my family. But we were kind of out there as lone riders, you know, doing this as a mission. And the book has such similarities and concepts and wisdom that we as the Brotherhood understood, used and followed, and what we didn't, we knew about, because Father took us through all mystery schools, all religions, anything we could find, we investigated, if not to use, just to know about, you know, to pass through it, if nothing else, and to continue on. We just kept building the foundation on all of it. So it helped me a lot because it basically made me what I called step out of my source box and take a walk on the wild side or the dark side, because I didn't understand the Anunnaki, Satan and Jesus, Enki, Inlay, that the whole stories that they were telling, until I finally came to the conclusion that polarity is one of the seven great principles of truth, and everything has polarity. You have the light and the dark, the good and the bad, the Jesus, the Satan. They're both the same thing. Each has its part, and we have all of that within us, as well as the story being told on the outside. And not to embrace it and understand it and merge it, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be, you know, kept one polarized, one side. And so once I realized that, I felt completely free in my evolution and started merging it and understanding it and honoring it. And it's almost like, you know, the last part of what I consider my my schooling, my evolution. I'm ready for graduation because of all of that, if that makes sense.
Certainly, certainly. Well, what was intriguing to me is, and I know Nicholas as well, that the Source family was actually involved with some of the rites that we now associate with the Dragon Court, like the Starfire rite. And so my question is, where did Father Yod come upon these very ancient dragon rites?
Well, looking back now, I can tell you that Father Yod was a dragon. He was a dragon lord. He was a dragon king. There's no doubt in my mind about it. He was a form of, because Nicholas's book, What We Had on Faith, he was able to take and give it a process to tell you how it worked in terms that made one understand. So the thing with our family, the Brotherhood of the Source, was we had books that we had gotten hold of. There were books out there on this. You know, Aleister Crowley used the Rite of the Blood as a feeding. The Watusi tribes, they drink of the blood. The Templars, the Masons, I mean, we got hold of books that, you know, even if it was veiled, we knew what they were talking about. And we took our sexual practice was done as Tantra. We had sex, drugs, rock and roll, but we put spirit into everything. And we very quickly knew that was for the, you have to go through that for your evolutionary process. That cannot be left out. And so stuff came to us. Other mystery schools came to us. We found out there was a lot of mystery schools and a lot of people that knew about this but were keeping it secret. Nobody was going forth with it. And then with the advent of the Internet, of course, anything's on the Internet and YouTube now. It's like the new Library of Alexandria is the Internet. You know, you can have anything at any time. So, you know, the mystery school continues. And that was the gift Nicholas gave and is giving. You know, the old families are now coming together under his banner that have been in hiding also. It's like everybody's starting to come out of the closet because it's safe to do so, and or it's needed. It's needed to do so.
Well, do you think that the other members of the Source family are going to be interested in becoming members of the Dragon Court?
We have two two Source family members that are on the Dragon Court. And we knew immediately who we were, and we got in touch with Nicholas, and he confirmed it. And we've been working with him for years. And that doesn't mean that we've given up anything as far as, you know, our Source brotherhood or who we were within that. It's just adding on to it and resonating. It's the same frequency that we had with Father Yod. It's the same program. So I
see.
Nick and I laugh a lot because he's more into bringing forth the Inki or that the Satan part of it and resurrecting and bringing back the honor to that name, which the Catholic Church and everybody else has misunderstood. I'm kind of on the other pole with the Inli, you know, the other brother, and, you know, making a claim there that both of them are meeting in the concept of Jesus. They both claim the lineage of Jesus, and I see that's where they both are going to meet and filter down through and come back together. Those two poles of opposite have to merge and come back together as the black and the white, and that's why I'm working with Nicholas on this also, because I feel like we're bringing that merger back together as one.
Well, I think one way that you can work with Nicholas or myself or anybody else in Dragon Court is to help us to revive some of the ancient dragon rites. I mean, we've certainly been able to revive some to the information and the genealogies and so forth and so on, but now what I would like to see, and I think Nicholas would as well, is more of the dragon rites to be revived and to become part of the Dragon Court again. And I don't know if you still are observing those rites or not, but you can certainly be a good consultant to us to help us to revive them.
Well, rites have to be done in a way where they're honored and understood. And I think this will happen when a place comes together that Nicholas is trying to do, a school or a center somewhere where you come for that purpose and you have people around you that are in that same field for that purpose, where your questions can be answered and where you can see if you even, you know, vibrate to it. I don't think this is the type of thing that can be done, like, over the Internet or, you know, get half of it here and half of it there and not really understand the whole thing. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but
I definitely do. This is going to be one place that we're going to have it. Go ahead.
Just what you're doing in Nicholas's book is, you know, he's got it all right there in the book. It's like learning a new language, but once you assimilate it and digest it, it's like that's, you know, your first classroom right there is his book. And to me, I'm at a point where, it doesn't matter what anybody's doing, any of us, Nicholas, me, the Catholic Church, the Hebrews, the Jews, the Palestinians, what anybody believes, because to me it's like we're all a thread. We're all one, but we're all our own thread because we're all in our own school and we all have our grade level. So you can't judge and allow, because somebody might be in kindergarten, you can't give them, you know, high school courses and expect them to get it. There's something there for everybody at this point. But the thing is, what is anybody doing with it for the betterment of self? I narrow it all down to this one thing. What are you doing with it for the betterment of self, and mankind in this planet as a whole. Whether you're an Anunnaki, whether you're a dragon, whether you're an elf, whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Baptist, whether you're nothing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's
definitely.
Like, yeah. Yeah, okay. So instead of continuing in this war of I'm this and I'm that, or we're this or we're that, or we're going to do this or we're going to do that, or this works or this doesn't work, find what works for you. Find what level you're on and what you have a frequency for. You'll find it. It's out there. And take the time to understand it for your own evolution, because everything is a balance. And just make sure that it's for the good of yourself and the good of mankind as a whole. And I think we're all going to be all right.
Well, all the teachings and the practices that Father Yod taught you all, are any of them, do you still practice any of them today?
Yes, we do. The teachings are in our being. We were very early on, Father gathered us. He named us. He numbered us. We all have a family number. We all have a family name. And then he sealed us in the blood of one of the births. We had a birth of a baby that passed over shortly after birth, and he took the blood of that birth, and he sealed each one of us in our forehead. And so we are a tribe that's been named, numbered, and sealed in blood. So that right there, you know, tells you a lot as far as the intent of what this man did for what he gathered. And he mm-hmm. has no doubt that, you know, we're all going to be seeing each other in Sirius. That's what he told us. I have no doubt about that.
Well, he obviously has a connection to the Judeo-Kabbalic tradition. I mean, he's called Father Yod.
Yep, he studied them all. You name it, he investigated it. He wanted to know what was out there, and he took himself through all those levels. He went through American Indians. He went through the Knights Templars, the Masons, the Dantic Monk, any book he could get a hold of, any of the mystery teachings, the Hebrew, yeah. Hebrew names.
So after learning all this, did he one day have an epiphany that revealed to him what his mission was as Father Yod for the Source family?
His mission was to go on a journey, and he told us right at the beginning, he said, I'm going on a journey. I don't know where it's going to take me, but if you want to come along, you can. And he made it very clear that it was his journey of this lifetime to try to make it his last lifetime to get off the wheel of karma. And that's what happened. We witnessed his journey. And because we went with him on his journey in agreement, it became our journey. It became our way of knowing how to do it, and then what we're supposed to do to finish out our own journey over these, you know, 40 years. When he left the body, it took him 9 hours to leave the body. He didn't have any blood. He had no broken bones. Cause of death was unknown. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. But on those 9 hours, he was in pain each time the fires went up his chakras. He released his kundalini, and at each seal that it went to, we could see which seal it was, and he would tell us. And it would be extreme pain, and then it passed through that seal, and he'd be fine, and it would go on. And then it went to his head and out his head, and we looked at him, and he was gone. He was looking in Makushla's eyes, and he left his body in peace. And we kept them for 3.5 days because that was our belief, that you have your river of life, and Jesus had three days in the tomb, didn't he, before he came out.
Well, when you get together with your source family, do you still this feeling of being a soul family, and that you'll, when you leave here, you'll, you know, meet together on Sirius, and, you know,
we have a feeling of being a soul family because, like I said, we were named, numbered, and sealed in the blood. We have a foundation together. We don't all agree, or I would say even get along, like we did family days. In the family days, we had Father. He was our head, our glue, and, you know, we didn't want for anything else. We didn't have to think about anything else. And I would say we weren't even really there for each other. We were there for him. You have 150 people crammed into one house, you know, trying to work off karma from many lifetimes. It got very interesting. But the reason we were able to do it then was because we didn't relate to each other's personality. We related on a soul level. That's the same way Father related to us, or we wouldn't have been able to have done anything. We lived in a higher frequency. We took ourselves out of the mainstream and became a mystery school, and we had disciplines, and we knew what we were doing. When Father left and we dispersed, we no longer were in that frequency. We were no longer had the support of a family or a head. And we all had to figure it out on our own. And I would say we, to a degree, you know, left the frequency to some degree because we didn't have the circumvent force of protection. And a lot of people got very confused. And then we started relating to each other on personality instead of the spiritual soul level. And when you drop down into that level, you start seeing a lot of things that happened in that realm of when we were together, and you try to make it fit into this realm where time exists, and you can't do it, and it gets confusing. So people have had to pass through that fire, and I think we're just starting to come out of that, understanding a lot of mishurts or things we thought were mishurts or things that we thought the would've, could've, should've's, as in anything, the hindsight, looked different to us, and it started being teared apart and questioned once we were out of it by some people. And that kind of broke us apart. You know, well, who spent that money, and why don't we have it now? We could be doing this, and it should have gone to the children. Instead, it went to the music, and all of that started coming to play in an earth mind. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before,
well, some of you have come back together. I understand from reading the website that your old rock and roll band has actually been resurrected, and that you're actually they're performing. Is that right?
Well, we call it the Coconut Wireless. We basically always knew where everybody was at, and if anything happened, everybody somehow ended up knowing about it of importance. And then we started having a few gatherings, which the first two were, you know, very iffy, a lot of stuff. We just had to start embracing each other again and working out what we called the shit that needed to be worked out. But we're still at the table with each other, and it's getting better and better and better. And of course, as we're getting older and older, we're going, you know, we can't do this anymore. We've got to let it go, and we got to figure it out. And we're starting to figure it out as the spiritual beings that we always thought we were, and we are. So we're trying to bring that to the table now, that understanding that we you know, all have our path and we're all going to do it differently. We don't all have to do the teachings exactly the way we did it to still be an illumined, enlightened person and use the same keys. You know, that doesn't mean anything. So we do use the keys. We have all the keys, and we all use them however we use them in our life. Some of us don't get up at 4 in the morning like we used to meditate. We might meditate at 6 in the morning. You know, but we're doing the sacred breath all day long. We know how to do our practices. So
you're really continuing with the practices that you were taught by Father Yod.
We are continuing them, and we are getting a substantiation for them from other things that are happening, and we're actually adding other things that make sense to us to add to it. What we were given was a foundation. You know, if Father was still alive, we would have never stopped. It wouldn't have stopped there. We wouldn't have been stuck in dogma of that time. He told us to always evolve and take what sounded, you know, a grain of truth. It was ours, take it and apply it. And so that's what we do. I'll take it from anywhere. Anywhere I hear it, see it, vibrate to it, I'll take it. Because it's for me. And if it makes sense for me, I want it.
So does your group have any plans to reunite anytime in the near future?
We have reunited in our own way. We have a private social site. We have our website. When we did the book, we had a book event, and, you know, about 50 family members came. We're doing a documentary. When the documentary comes out, we'll have a private showing in L.A., and any family member that wants to come will come, you know, things like that. We'll probably take that time to have our own little reunion. But through the family site, we keep up with what's happening, you know, with our children, babies being born, you know, a lot of social stuff. And we talk a lot about the past and the teachings and how we can better utilize them and how they're actually being utilized anyhow by other people. And in other ways, they've kind of been upgraded. So we're laughing about that. It's everything we had is out there and being done. There are no more secrets.
So today, if people want to know more about you, they want to read your books, they want to read about the history, they want to acquire your CDs, can they do that all on your website?
Yeah, we're putting everything on the website, yahowha.org, Yahowha. And we just set up a blog, so we're going to have a blog now, which we're very excited about. Drag City out of Chicago is remastering all of our albums from the family days, and they're being re-released. We're putting culture, the word culture, back in the word cult. We're resurrecting that word because that is not, you know, bad word. Cult is not a bad word. It just means someone's culture.
Mm-hmm.
And our music has always been an underground happening. It's pretty well at this point reached cult status, they say. It's you can't go on YouTube or the internet without. I just found one of our albums selling for $500. And a box set was done, which is like going for $3,000. And it's like, we go, where is this coming from? This is crazy. Some of the family musicians have gotten together and they're touring and they're making new music. And the next generation has totally embraced them. Father Yod's become a cult hero. I mean, American Apparel, I don't know if you know who they are, but they have stores all over the world. And they've commissioned a Father Yod T-shirt. So it's just, you know, it just goes on and on and on.
And you're also designing T-shirts, right?
I'm making my own, designing my own T-shirts, which I'm having a lot of fun with. I'm especially excited about the one that we're just printing now. It's the basically Jesus Satan T-shirt, and it is so funny. Oh, my God. I can't wait for you to see that one.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to want one of those.
Yeah, it's at the front of it's the saying is, Mother Says Don't Fight. It's basically a graphic of Jesus and Satan duking it out. And then you, the back of it, they're hugging each other and smiling. And there's a big banner, Knock It Off, down there. And it says, Dad, a.k.a. God. So you'd have to see it. It's really a good one.
So it's just let me know when that's ready to be sold, I'll definitely be interested.
Yeah.
Well, time is pretty much up today, Isis. I really appreciate you coming on the show and explaining and revealing, the history of the Source Brotherhood. It's up until just a month or so, I'd never even heard of it, and there's so much there that it's really fascinating. I'm certainly glad I met you and I'm learning about it. It sounds like an amazing experience that you all had together.
We did, and people are, unless you lived in L.A., people are astonished because, we were running around in robes and long hair. We were very wealthy. We were driving Rolls Royces. We lived in mansions. And we would come down and operate this little Source restaurant that everybody came to. I mean, you name it, they were there. And we didn't pay any attention to them. We thought we were more famous than they were, actually. And then we would go back home, and we would be like reclusive, and nobody would know anything about us. We went on a total spiritual journey, and, we had our time. And so as people, we had our music, we had home births, we had... But the thing is people are finding out about us now, they're all saying the same thing. How did you exist and I didn't know about you? But there's thousands of groups like us. We all thought we were the only ones, and we all think we're different, but there was so many groups doing the same thing we were doing. Nobody knew about them.
Right. Well, of course, I my era was just after that, and so you're all the patriarchs and matriarchs of that whole movement that I jumped on when I was ready.
We were like pioneers. We were the forerunners of that energy. We caught
exactly.
it, and we.
Well, we all appreciate your work for having done that.
Thank you.
Well, so I'll be in touch with you. I'll be in touch with you about the the Dragon Court and it's been really wonderful having you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm hoping that we're going to do a gathering in England this summer. Nicholas is wanting to do that for a couple of years, so it would be nice to be able to do that. I call Nicholas my dragon son. So.
Really? That's why he calls you his dragon mother, I suppose.
I know. So I'm DM, the dragon mom, and sometimes he does get very nervous when I call or email him because it's usually when he's being naughty.
That's probably most of the time.
Well, it's getting there. Yeah. So I have to say very few words to him, and he knows.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Well, Mark,
let me know about that.
So glad you're in the loop, and thank you so much for this interview, everybody.
Yeah,
I hope you got what you wanted.
And everyone's really happy to know more about you and the Source Brotherhood. So, we'll be in touch.
Okay, and anybody can ask me questions by going to the website. Oh, my God, there should be loads to ask, I was one of 14 mm-hmm. wives. We did sex, drugs, rock and roll. We're still here. You know, we're doing it in spirit. I mean, there's plenty to ask.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be getting a few emails.
That would be wonderful. Flaunt Magazine did a great interview with me on the Goddess Trinity, by the way, that just came out their last issue. If anybody can get a hold of that. Or I can send you that article. I don't know if you want to post it.
Okay.
Yeah. Just let me know if you need anything on your website.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Isis. It's been great.
Okay.
Really
aloha, everybody.
Wonderful having you. And I'll be in touch with you. And so that ends our program today, folks, and we'll be back again soon with another very interesting guest. And as I always say, if you're looking for the Holy Grail and you're looking for it any place else other than your own heart, you're looking in the wrong place. Go there and find it. So that's it for today. Bye for now, everybody.